Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, so give him a hand as he comes.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God is good. Is he not good, or is he good? The Bible said, we as Christians, we say God is good. And some of us that know him for a long time, we say what? And then when we say all the time, some of the people that know him for a long time, they say what? God is good. Amen. So we say God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. We have to believe that though, right? You got to believe that, because there's going to be some times in your life, and this is not my message, but there's going to be some times in your life that life might not look good, but we have to, the Bible tells us to look to the hills, which comes our help. Amen. And our help comes from the Lord. So no matter what you are going through, know that God is a good God. The Bible says that he has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. We're talking dig deeper. Look at your neighbor real quick and tell them to dig deeper. Come on, say it like you mean it. Dig deeper. See, some of you got something in the ground, but you got to dig it up. You got to get in there and dig it up. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into this message. And as I say all the time, I will not be before you very long. But Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for this opportunity that you've blessed me to share this word with your people here and those that will hear it later, oh God. I pray to God that your power, your anointing would go forth, oh God, that you speak through me and to me, oh God. I pray to God that your spirit would even speak beyond what I say. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. All right. So today I am talking about dig deeper, and we're going to talk about forgiveness. How many know that if you have a shallow understanding of God, you do not forgive, right? And I'll tell you this. Sometimes, many times in our lives as believers, things that God has for us are hindered because we are not operating in forgiveness. Amen. And it's very important that we do this. I don't know. Sometimes it might be something very crazy that went on, but we're going to go to this scripture that Jesus, it says Jesus, he actually warns us of the offenses to come, but then he also tells us what to do. And that's in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read 1-4. And I'm talking about digging deeper for forgiveness. Okay? It says this. It says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It says, it would be better for him if he were hung around his neck, if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Then it says in verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins again, if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, the interesting thing is, it's not always an easy thing to forgive somebody. Has anybody had to forgive somebody and it was really hard to do? Right? I don't know if, sometimes we don't hear a lot of forgiveness messages. But guess what? That's the core of the gospel. The core of the gospel is that you, me, myself, everybody here, everybody in this world have had an instance or lived a lifestyle that was against God. And because God loves us so much, says he sent his son that he died for us, but he would forgive us of our sins. Amen. This is the key part to the gospel. Some people will be like, well, they don't deserve it. No, neither did you. None of us deserve the forgiveness that God has given us. But since he has given us forgiveness, we must reciprocate that. We must show that in our own lifestyle. OK, so one simple way that really helps me, especially when we driving and as Seattle is getting more and more traffic. Did you guys know that they say there's 200 more people moving to Seattle every single day? 200 more people are trying to get Seattle residency every single day. Do you understand that number, right? So what happens is, obviously, we're not building new streets, so the traffic is increasing, right? But one thing I try to do is, let's say I'm driving and somebody cuts me off. Now, initially, I might be taking off and be like, oh, man, what are you doing? You know, but then I'd be like, it's all right. Thank you, God. I'm saying thank you, God. But then I also, if I roll up next to those people, I don't be like, what are you doing? You know, what I do is I simply wave to them. It's okay. Why? Because they need to be forgiven. Guess what? That is a simple act that we can have in our day. Maybe you go to the store and somebody's trying to get something and you go get it and say, oh, don't worry, you can have it. Let's be forgiving in a day-to-day routine. Now, I think it's a little more difficult when somebody does you wrong on purpose. Have anybody had that happen to you? Somebody setting you up for failure. They just, man, I got a plan to hurt Brother Philip, right? If they had a plan to do that and you catch them in their plan, it's not as easy to forgive them. Because you're like, why are you trying to do this against me, right? Why are you trying to harm me? But God says, don't even worry about that. Forgive them. And then it says, if they do it 7 times in the same day, forgive them. Guess what? There's another scripture that says, the disciples asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive somebody? He says, 70 times 7. Somebody do the math. How much is that? 490 in one day. Right? Now, I'm just saying this because, you know, sometimes we got to get this understanding that God will forgive us that many times and probably has done it more. Maybe our thoughts hasn't been right or have not been right. And the great thing about God is he's willing to forgive. But the key thing here in this scripture says, if they ask for forgiveness or if they repent. All right? Now, forgiveness is given to everybody, but guess what? Everybody doesn't accept it because everybody doesn't repent. Right? I'll say it like this. Maybe you've done something wrong. And I think for me, since I had siblings, you know, you get in an argument with your brother or, you know, sisters, if you had sisters. I had all brothers and I was the oldest brother. So if they did something wrong, you'd be upset with them. And our parents would be like, forgive them, right? And, you know, sometimes some of us would be like, I forgive you, man. All right, cool. Other times it's, I forgive you, right? They just saying it because mom and dad's right there, but they don't really mean it, right? But what begins to happen is they hold grudges and they try to get even. I just read the story of Joseph a while back, not today, I think it was about a month ago. We were talking about Joseph. And one of the things that his brothers did were when Joseph's dad was getting ready to die, Jacob, they were afraid of Joseph because they're like, he hasn't forgotten that we tried to kill him. And if it wasn't for this other brother, we would have killed him. But we sold him into slavery. So as soon as Jacob died, they were like, hey, listen, we know you're upset with us, da 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 da. But the heart of Joseph was the heart of God. He said, if it wasn't for all the things that you did, first of all, I wouldn't be here. So I forgive you, right? Now, I don't know how liberating that was for Joseph, but I'm pretty sure the people that were his brothers were relieved that happened. Guess what? And they got to see the heart of God. But when we go through things in our lives, are we digging deeper and saying, I forgive you because it's deeper than me? it's the Spirit of God within me that allows me to forgive you? Or are we harboring that and being like, I'm not going to forgive you? You've done too much wrong for me. And guess what? The bad thing is, it starts hindering your walk. It starts hindering your relationship with God. Because instead of freedom in your own life, what begins to happen is you're bound because you're always concerned with what they did. Somebody tell your neighbor, dig deeper. Once again, I'm going to read verse 4. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now we're going to go to a story. As I was praying, this is what God put on my heart. It's 1 Samuel chapter 24. Somebody say 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And this story is about David. And he has an opportunity to become the king really quick. Right? He has the opportunity to become the king, which he was anointed to become, but something happens. And that's forgiveness. Amen? It says this, it says, now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told to him saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day. Listen, check this out. This is the funny part right here. Because instead of forgiveness, some people are going to tell you, get even. This is your time. Not only is this the time, this is the time God has appointed for you to move, right? This is what the people that are with David said. They said, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as it seems good to you. All right. And the funny thing is they're using scriptures. David, it's time, man. Look, King Saul's right there. Nobody's able to protect him. This dude has been after you. He threw a spear at you, tried to kill you several times, right? Because he notices the anointing on your life. Guess what? I don't believe it was a secret that King Saul knew that David was going to be the next king, right? But King Saul is like, not on my watch, not while I'm still alive. I'm trying to set things up for my son Jonathan, right? But because we gotta go back to even see why King Saul is like this. Because King Saul was rejected by God, he was angry at David. And he started producing grudges in his heart. And guess what? The forgiveness was not because David did something wrong. Sometimes you just harbor envy in your heart and it causes you to covet what somebody else has. You guys remember the song that they said that there was a song that the people would sing that Saul had slain his thousands, but David 10,000s. All that really says is Saul is good, but David is the man, right? David is that guy. He's that dude. Everybody, well, look, King Saul was cool. I know he's tall and everything, but he didn't kill no giant, right? So all of this began to produce anger in Saul. It says he was tormented by what? A spirit. And how did that spirit get there? Because he was walking in unforgiveness. Right? Now, even you know, the first reason that Saul, the kingdom was taken away from Saul is because he didn't obey God. Right? He didn't obey what the prophet had told him to do. They told him to wait. But he was like, oh, I got to do it because these people were telling me to do it. And he didn't obey God. So Samuel told him that God has taken the kingdom from you. After that, he went to anoint David. Now, guess what? The interesting thing about David is it took so long for him to actually become king. Right? So from what we read so far, David, he could have killed King Saul and became king right now. Right? But guess what? This is just another thing to see. Know that our timing is not always God's timing. God has a way that he's going to set things up for what we call divine appointment. Now, this was a divine appointment, but if David met it wrong, it would have caused problems with David. Because what this would have shown was David had not forgiven King Saul. But let's keep on reading and see what happens. It says, once again, behold, I will deliver you in the inner, deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now, I don't know about you guys, if you ever seen something on TV or ever seen it. Just imagine David's like, you know, it's a struggle, right? I'm just going to kill you right now, King Saul, because you tried to kill me. And it would have could have been self-defense. You know, that's probably what David was like. I'm trying to stay alive. He got 3,000 people out there trying to kill me right now. But he cuts off just a little bit of his coat, his cloak, his robe. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. And it says, now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Now listen to that conviction. You guys see that? David wasn't troubled because he almost killed him. He was troubled because he cut the man's robe. Right? This is because David is already being touched by God already. You guys catch this? He's already being touched by God. And he honored authority. Verse 5 says, now it happened. I read that again. Let's go verse 6. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, then called out to Saul, saying, my lord king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks to harm you or seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. Who's urging you to not forgive somebody? You guys got those people in your corner? Hey, man, did you see how they did you? We call them instigators, right? When it was about when we were growing up and something was going on, a fight was about to happen, the instigators are the ones that are going to make sure a fight happens. Man, did you hear what he just said something about your mom? What you going to do about that? Right? Those kind of people. Did you hear what he said? Oh, man, they're making all this noise. There's people making noise in your life telling you not to forgive people. Right? You're talking to your homeboys or your homegirls. Man, this person just did me like this. Oh, if that happened to me, I would. Right? We all know what happens, right? Right. It happens, though. Sometimes people around us are saying, like, do this. Go ahead. Go get. But that's the people that we need to stop listening to. And it says this. Verse 10. Look, this day your eyes have seen the Lord, that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of the robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Now that's powerful. I read that, and what begins to happen is when something is going wrong in your life or people are doing you wrong, if you have that heart, you have to dig deep to get there. Guess what? That's not just some shallow Christianity. I'm just going to forgive you because you hurt me. No, you can only do that if you trust that God has what is best for you. Amen. You can only do that if you understand that God's way is better than your way. It says in the Word of God that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But if we don't believe that, when somebody does us wrong, we're going to go after them. Or we're going to just set up things like if they need help. Nah, I'm not helping them out. Please, don't ask me for help. No, absolutely not. I'll help my dog before I help you. No, and you don't even have a dog, right? That's just the way that some people are. Why? Because forgiveness is not a part of them. They are harboring unforgiveness in their hearts. And what begins to happen is there is a problem in their relationship with other people. That's why it's important that we learn to forgive. That's why it's important that we walk in forgiveness. Understanding that forgiveness is not, like I said earlier, it is not a thing that people deserve, but you do it because you did not deserve the forgiveness that you got. I'm going to share a story real quick. I was trying to get a home modification on my loan. This is at the time our mortgage was way higher than it was supposed to be, according to just the ways of society. This was like 2008, 2009, when we were having a recession in the United States. And I had to fill out these papers, and I didn't have to fill it out once, twice, thrice. I had to fill it out like I felt like a million times. I had to keep faxing these things, and the people kept saying, oh, we didn't get that. Can you send that again? Oh, you know what? Actually, you're going to have to do it all over again because we couldn't find. And I'm like, man, I was getting frustrated, right? I don't know why they do this. I don't know those people in that area, right? But I kept doing it. Hey, okay, I'll send it again. Here it is. Right now, I'm faxing it. My fax machine tells me that you guys received it. Go get it right now. I'm on the phone with you. Please get it. Okay. Well, we're missing this, right? And I don't know if they're just lying to me or what, but I just kept sending it. Kept sending it. And in the middle of this, somebody owed me some money, right? And if I got that money that that person owed me in tax season, I was going to be sitting pretty good, right? But I was like, man, if I want these people to forgive me of some money that I owe them, I'm going to have to do the same thing, right? But they owe me money, though. Right? Anybody had somebody owe you some money before? I was driving somebody, or I was listening to somebody. Oh, was that Philip that said if you give your brother-in-law some money? No. That was Dave Ramsey. Anybody listen to the Dave Ramsey show? He was talking about if you loan your brother-in-law money and tell him he has to pay you back, you're not going to have to talk to him no more, right? Because he's going to be ducking and dodging you, right, for the rest of his life. So he says, don't loan money to friends. Right. If you're trying to get rid of them, just give them some money. You won't hear from them for a while unless they ask him for more money. But anyway, I told my wife, like, babe, I know this person owes us some money, but I'm going to forgive his debt or their debt, her debt, his debt, whoever it is, right? So my wife, you know, being the person she is, she don't argue. Okay, cool. That's fine. And I told her why. I was like, I was reading the scripture, and I just saw that same scripture where the man was forgiven his debt, but he did not forgive the debt of somebody else, and that bugged me, man. It bugged me to the point where I was like, I have to do something. Anybody read some scripture sometimes, and you know it's working on you? It's kind of like, you know, bubbling in your spirit, and it's like, oh, I got to do something because God is trying to get this message through to me. So I forgave him of the debt, and he was like, man, bro, I really appreciate that. You don't know what kind of weight that took off of me. I was doing everything in my power to get this money, right? But in doing that, it allowed the relationship to be healed. Forgiveness allows healing in your life. Now, guess what? Thank God I got the modification, too. They took off more than I forgave him. And I went to see that scripture again, and I was like, wow, look what God does when you walk in his principles. When you forgive somebody else is going to forgive you, right? And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you actually really need forgiveness because you can't even deal with whatever the persecution or the issue is, you don't have it. But when somebody says, I forgive you, man, that should do something to you. But guess what? We were in debt to the point where sin covered us. It was to the point where when we see the story of Jesus when he was on the cross and God had to cover his face because Jesus took on sin, all the sin of the world. And guess what? The last words Jesus said was forgive them for they know not what they do. Jesus died with forgiveness. Despite all the things that we would do, he said forgive them for they know not what they do. Verse 12 says, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. It says, as a proverb of the ancients say, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue, a dead dog, a flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. Now, I'm kind of interested in why David went out there. Like, they got the 3,000 people right there, right? They're coming for Thistle's got a song. It says they put money on his head, right? They put money on his head. They're trying to kill David. But David comes out and really preaches a message that kind of, this is rocking Saul right now. Says in verse 16, so it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And then it says, and Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and you will not destroy my name from my father's house. So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. So what we see here is the power of forgiving. The power of David forgiving Saul despite his life being on the line. And when the tables were turned, he said, I'm going to change the game. That means I'm not going to pursue him. I'm not going to kill him. He's trying to kill me, but I'm not going to kill him. When the tables are turned, what is our thoughts? Guess what? Your thoughts, the things that you are thinking will become what you do. That's why it's important to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, right? So when somebody is doing something to you, your heart should be like, let me just pray for them. Why are they after me, right? I'm not nobody special. But why every time I come over here, this person wants to do me harm? But if I start saying, I'm going to get him, I can't wait till them tables. Yeah, he had all his boys with him, but next time I'm going to let him know what's up, right? But we have a heart of forgiveness, and that comes from knowing God. That comes from being in his presence, seeking him with our whole heart and mind, and saying, God, your will be done, not my will be done. God, let me have your heart. Like I say all the time, one of my favorite scriptures, and I kind of notice it because I say it all the time while I'm preaching, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Because this flesh that we have, if somebody does me wrong, I want to get even with them. But I say, God, work on my heart so that I can resemble what you've done in my life. Right? I got another story real quick. I was driving my van, and I have a neighbor that parks next to me. And one night, for some reason, I hit his car. Right? And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, it wasn't one of those little scrapes. It was like, you know, I was like, oh, snap. It was like it lifted his car up a little bit, right? So I was like, oh, man. So I left a note on his car. I was like, man. Now, look, check it out. What I could have just been like, I don't know what happened to his car, right? But I leave a note, tell him, hey, man, if you need anything done to it, just let me know. If I got to pay money, I'll do it, right? So I see him a couple days, and he didn't say nothing. I'm like, okay, cool. But it's like when you see him, you're like, oh, shucks. Here he comes, right? So one day I just seen him, and I was like, hey, man, I don't know if you got the note about the car. I actually scraped it on the way out, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't like a huge problem. It's just like, you know how sometimes the bumper, it wasn't bumped in or anything like that. It just had the color of my paint on his car. So it wasn't too bad, right? I was like, man, that wouldn't cost too much anyway. But he was like, oh, man, don't worry about it. And I was like, cool, right? Because I'm like, whew, you know, like it was relief. So when I see him, it was back to how we were before. Hey, how you doing? You know, I mean, he's always carry tea and come. He works in the late night, and when we're getting ready to take the kids to school, he's coming home. So we always saw him, but he forgave me for a fault that I did. Now there's another story about somebody that did that to another lady's car in the apartments, and she was upset because they wouldn't admit it. You guys see that? See how that scripture is? We talked about, if they ask for forgiveness, forgive them. These people didn't ask for forgiveness. They denied that they did it. Right? I didn't do that. Man, you got my pain. Your pain is on my car. What do you mean? That wasn't me. Right? It's like the person that got their hand in a cookie jar. Everybody sees their hand. Oh, it wasn't me. Learn to repent, admit your faults, but also learn to forgive. Right? And there's going to be times, sometimes even for the faults that you have, there might be some consequences to it. Some people might forgive you, but they'll be like, okay, now I need this. And guess what? Sometimes you're going to be obligated to do that because you were the one at fault. But thank God for the forgiveness that God gives. All he says is, repent and I'll forgive you. He doesn't say, then go do 100 of these, run that, do this. He doesn't say that. He says, repent and I will forgive you. And part of repentance is not going back. Amen. See, some people have done you wrong. You forgive them and they keep doing you wrong and they forgive them. But guess what? If somebody keeps on doing that, that's a heart issue with them. Because you don't ask for forgiveness. Oh, you don't say I'm sorry and then just do the same thing again. Right? And some people are getting the habit of, oh, I'm sorry. And it doesn't mean nothing. That's just, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, cool. All right, good. You forgive me? All right. Oh, man, I did it again. I'm sorry. I mean, sometimes forgiveness is for them and for you. But sometimes when you forgive people, you got to learn from that. And you don't put yourself in the same situation. Got to learn from it, right? Be wise. But forgive everyone as God has forgiven you. Amen. We are done for today. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that your word would speak and resonate in our lives, oh God. Maybe there's somebody that has done us wrong that we can even think of right now and we haven't forgiven them. God, allow us to have your heart and give and have a heart of forgiveness towards them. God, maybe we've done somebody wrong and we're looking to be forgiven. We pray to God that you forgive us. As your word says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, help us to have your heart. That's a daily prayer that we should have, oh God. So I pray to God that we walk in forgiveness. That we dig deeper. We dig not from us, dear God, but from our relationship with you. And that we help forgive those that are in this world and help them know what Jesus and a relationship with Jesus looks like. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Amen. We just want to continue to do that. The reason why we say raise our hands and stuff.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.